Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I am so happy to have you with me for my show. Today, I have a very hot topic for you. Are your hormones making you moan, but not in a good way? In other words, are you suffering from a hormone imbalance that's getting your sex life and your relationship down? Well, stay tuned as I help you decipher whether PMS, perimenopause, menopause, or andropause is throwing you, your relationship, and your sex life out of whack, and what you can do to get yourself back on track. So hang in there. There is hope for those wacky hormones. And later in the show, you're going to be meeting my guest, Glenn Arpino, who is a compounding pharmacist who founded Dermasave Labs. And he's going to talk to you about how bioidentical hormone replacement can be used to restore your health and your sexual vitality. I'm also going to share with you three columns that I selected to answer. And the first one is, woman whose mate needs more foreplay. And in this question, I'm going to help a woman who asks me to explain why her boyfriend of 2 years suddenly needs more foreplay to obtain an erection. And he says it's because he's getting older and she wants to understand what is going down. And the next question, man who is in despair over the size of his genitals, I help him. This guy, he suffers from an abnormally small penis. And so I want you to stick around to hear the truth about normal penis size and discover the options for modifying a penis that is abnormally small. And the third question I'm going to answer is, we have stopped being intimate. And this question, I work with a woman whose female partner has lost her interest in sex, saying that her hormones are to blame. So stick around so you can hear what can be done to start her engines once more. That'll also help you start yours. So on to today's topic. Before we talk about hormone imbalance, I want to give you a crash course on what hormones are. And I promise there's no quiz to follow. Now, did you know that the hormones are the chemical messengers in the body that travel the bloodstream to the organs and the tissues? And they affect many of the body's processes over time. Endocrine glands are a special group of cells, and they make hormones. And there are many endocrine glands in the body, with the main ones being the pituitary, the thyroid, the thymus, the adrenal glands, and the pancreas. Hormones are dominant, and it only requires a small amount of them to cause significant changes throughout your body. And did you also know that both men and women produce hormones in the same areas, with one exception, the sex organs? Additional male hormones are produced in the testes, while women's are produced in the ovaries. Now, if hormone imbalance is left untreated, it can result in serious medical conditions like diabetes. And if the imbalance is taking place in your pituitary gland, you're going to have growth disorders that will probably require the treatment of growth hormone. And it's possible that the imbalance could also cause an overproduction of growth hormones and cause conditions such as gigantism or acromegaly. Well, there are about 6,000 endocrine disorders that result because of hormone imbalances. Now, hormone imbalance occurs when the chemical messengers that regulate your body's system no longer function right. And the dysfunction can be an overproduction or an underproduction of specific hormones. And the imbalances occur at different points in our lives. So as the body transitions from childhood to adulthood, well, that's puberty, and both men and women experience that, or males and females. Now, for some females, hormone imbalance occurs in the form of PMS, which is said to be the result of low progesterone levels. Women again experience a change later in life as their childbearing years gradually come to a close. And for guys, andropause refers to the change in a man's body as a result of diminishing levels of testosterone. Now, let me just talk for a second about the symptoms of hormone imbalances in women. Ladies, does this sound like you? You're moody, you're tired, you're blue, you're anxious, you may have acne, you're bloated, you have increased abdominal fat, you know, like that tire around the gut, bowel problems, constipation or diarrhea, gas, bloating, aches and pains, unstable blood sugar, even intolerance to exercise, headaches, cyclical headaches at certain times of the month, thinning hair, bladder infections, hot flashes or insomnia, or you may be dry south of the border. You've lost interest in sex. Sex can be painful, or you just don't respond like you used to. And here's a little known symptom. Very few people know about this, but many women may have an unpleasant feeling when their skin is touched. And of course, this is going to really harm a relationship because your partner is going to think you're recoiling from him or her. And last but not least, are you suffering from memory problems, brain fog, or what I call CRS syndrome? Can't remember S, H, blank, T, yeah. So in short, you feel like you're aging faster than a hunk of cheese left out on the counter in mid-August. Now, did you know that all these symptoms can be the result of hormone imbalances? Now, what causes hormone imbalances? Well, for women, there's a natural decline of reproductive hormones. As you approach your late 30s, your ovaries actually start making less estrogen and progesterone. And during this time, you have less eggs ripening. And the periods may become shorter or irregular, heavier, lighter. And eventually, your ovaries stop producing eggs, and then you just have no more periods. And some women do menstruate up until the last period, but that's very unlikely. For most women, it just gets irregular and the hormones go wacky along with the irregular periods. Also, hysterectomy. Well, when your uterus is removed, but not your ovaries, usually you don't have menopause. But an operation that removes both your uterus and your ovaries does cause menopause. And your periods will stop immediately and you're going to have hot flashes most likely and other menopause signs and symptoms. Another cause of hormone imbalance, chemotherapy and radiation therapy, because these therapies actually can induce menopause, and then they can cause symptoms such as hot flashes during the course of treatment and within 3 to 6 months after the treatment. And then there's also in 1% of the population something called primary ovarian insufficiency, where a woman will experience menopause before age 40. And this comes from ovaries failing to produce normal levels of reproductive hormones caused by genetic factors or autoimmune disease. They really don't know the true reason. Now, also, there's a way of grouping the symptoms that are linked to your specific imbalance, and they are actually six groups. The first symptom group is the progesterone deficiency group, and this is the most common hormone imbalance among women of all ages. And you may need to change your diet, get off synthetic hormones, including birth control pills, and you might even need to use progesterone cream to fix this. There's actually a book by Dr. Lee, What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Menopause and What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Premenopause. These books talk a lot about the problem, and I encourage you to read them. The second symptom group is estrogen deficiency. Now, this hormone imbalance is most common in menopausal women, especially if you're petite or slim, because the body doesn't have enough fat to store the estrogen. And you may need to make some special changes to your diet, even take some herbs. I'm going to talk about these herbs in a little bit. And some women may even need a little bit of natural estrogen, about a tenth of the dose that most doctors prescribe. The next group is group three, which is excess estrogen. And in women, this is most often solved by just getting off conventional synthetic hormones that traditional doctors prescribe to menopausal women. Group four is called estrogen dominance. This is caused when you don't have enough progesterone to balance the effects of estrogen. So if you have low estrogen, but you have even lower progesterone, you can have symptoms of estrogen dominance all the same. Now, this is most common for women between the ages of 40 and 50. And this topic is also covered in Dr. Lee's book, What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Menopause. Now, symptom group five is called excess androgens. Those are the male hormones. This excess androgens can be caused by too much stress, especially in the early phases of stress where your adrenals are pumping androgens. You may get hair growth, and also too much sugar and simple carbohydrates in the diet have been found in women who have polycystic ovary syndrome. and this will cause excess androgens. And the last symptom group is the cortisol deficiency group. And this is caused by the tired adrenals. You've been stressed out for so long, and now the chronic stress has just burned your adrenals out. You're trying to juggle job and family. Tired adrenals. Now, I want to jump the fence and talk about men and male hormone imbalances. Now, you probably have heard the term andropause. Well, this refers to the levels of male sex hormone testosterone declining with advancing age. And this causes a change in the ratio of estrogen to testosterone in a man's body. And as the levels of the male hormone testosterone decrease with advancing age, the ratio of testosterone to estrogen falls. Eventually, the point is reached when the levels of testosterone become so low that estrogen finally begins to dominate, even in men. Now, in men, in addition to the diminishment of testosterone, there's another problem, which is the reduction of growth hormone. And did you know that after age 20, a man's growth hormone falls about 14% for every 10 years. By the time he reaches 40, he's lost almost half the growth hormone he had in his 20s. And by the time he reaches 80, he's left with just 5% of his overall growth hormones. But you don't have to be middle-aged or older to experience an imbalance. Some of the most common hormonal imbalances in men are the andropause, which is the male menopause, where the testosterone levels decline. Men experience adrenal fatigue from high stress levels. Men experience hypothyroidism, very common. The thyroid gland becomes underactive and it's not producing enough thyroid hormones. And then they also commonly get hyperthyroidism, where their thyroid becomes overactive and increases the metabolism. Now, guys, have you experienced any of these symptoms of male hormone imbalance? Erectile dysfunction, and that could be softer erections, not sustaining erections, or total impotence. Or are you suffering from enlarged prostate or prostate inflammation, low libido and drive, low sperm count, night sweats or hot flashes? Yes, men get them. Mood swings and irritability, muscle loss or weakness, depression or anxiety, panic, even feeling like you're going out of your mind, increased body fat, hair loss, fatigue and lack of energy, memory loss, the CRS syndrome, heart palpitations, bloating, water retention, even swelling of your ankles, sleep apnea or insomnia, constipation or increased bowel movements, and something called gynecomastia, which is man boobs. Now, a little known symptom of male hormone imbalance is testicular atrophy. And, you know, I pity the poor boys. First they drop like the New Year's Eve ball, then they turn blue, then they shrink. I mean, it's enough to make you want to see a shrink. And few people know that when men lose testosterone, they can actually get osteoporosis just like women. And did you also know that enlarged prostate affects approximately 50% of the male population above the age of 50 and over 75% of the male population above the age of 70? This is all due to hormone imbalance in the body. And traditionally, this was due to the aging of the body, but it has become more pronounced in the last couple of decades due to the petrochemically polluted environment we live in. And the foods we eat, the hormone-rich diet we eat. Now, this pollution leads to a condition that affects both men and women. It's called estrogen dominance. Have you heard of it? The hormone imbalance is a man-made imbalance of the 20th century. The industrial world we live in today, as I said, the petrochemically polluted environment and the diet we eat all contribute to the exposure of the human body to high levels of synthetic estrogen, which is the most common underlying cause of hormone imbalance in men and women. Now, this imbalance comes from the thousands of xenoestrogens we are exposed to every day. Xenoestrogens are the substances that are the man-made product, the petrochemicals. They're similar in structure to our own body's estrogens, and they're often called estrogen mimickers because they actually mimic the effects of natural estrogens. And they have a potent estrogen-like effect. They're in our air, our water, our fuel, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, plastics, clothing, bug and mosquito sprays, including BPA chemicals, fire retardants. They're in your mattress, your furniture, your electronics, your cosmetic and skin care, conventional cleaning products, bleaching chemicals used on conventional tampons and sanitary pads, toilet paper, dairy and meat from conventionally farmed animals because they're administered artificial growth hormones. So estrogen dominance in men can lead to all kinds of the symptoms that I've already said, the low sperm count, prostate and testicular problems, man boobs, weight gain, women, PMS, and other estrogen dominant conditions, fibrocystic breast, ovarian cysts, endometriosis, uterine fibers, heavy periods, higher rates of breast and uterine cancers, and infertility. And do you know that it can cause boys and girls to enter puberty as early as 8 years old? Because the xenoestrogens enter a fetus through the mother's blood, potentially affecting the reproductive development of the fetus. Now, I'm going to take a little break. When I come back, I'm going to talk to you about how we can correct this estrogen dominance and help our hormone imbalance by modifying our diet and exercise. Let me just take a brief break. I'm going to come back, talk to you about diet and exercise, and then I'm going to bring my guest on.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Today we're talking about, are your hormones making you moan, but not in a good way? Before I broke, I was telling you that estrogen dominance from the petrochemically polluted environment in which we live in is causing all kinds of hormone imbalances in men and women. And I promised to talk about how our diet is causing estrogen dominance. Our diet is contaminated with hormones. Synthetic estrogens are now used to fatten cattle as well as other meat-producing animals and to even increase milk and egg production. And most of us are just ingesting hormones in our meals. And did you know, this is a little-known fact, birth control pills are not biodegradable, and when they enter the water supply and soil, they contaminate them for decades, and you're taking this into your body. And because synthetic hormones have molecular structures that are not compatible with our physiology, we don't have enzymes designed to modify their effects, and we can't excrete them efficiently. So that's why synthetic hormones have an unnatural and far more potent hormonal effect on our body systems than natural hormones do. So what can you do to combat these xenoestrogens and hormone imbalance and stop this estrogen dominance? So diet and exercise is your key. So you have to know that food has a powerful effect on your hormones, both positively and negatively. So it's very important for you to eat organic food and choose meat and dairy from naturally raised animals that have never been administered artificial growth hormones and other chemicals. So you want to reduce your exposure to xenoestrogens. And in addition to regulating your hormones, the side benefit of adjusting your diet and level of activity is going to be to promote healthy bones and reduce the risk of heart disease. Now, the body eliminates natural estrogens regularly, but many xenoestrogens are not eliminated, and they accumulate in your fatty tissues. Did you know that the size and the number of your fat cells is going to affect your hormone balance? Because fat cells, especially when filled to capacity with stored fat, produce considerable amounts of hormones, including estrogen. And the estrogen made by fat cells is in addition to those produced by your own endocrine system, and that can contribute to estrogen dominance. So for hormone balance and overall health and well-being, you need to maintain a healthy weight through your regular exercise and diet. And you also need to avoid those simple and refined carbs, the whites, white flour, white sugar, white bread, white rice, because they worsen hormone dysfunction by spiking insulin levels, and that negatively affects your sex hormones and causes weight gain. So here are the dietary things that are really going to help you. You want to include vegetables, fruit, protein, and the healthy fats in your diet, the omegas, the primrose and borage oils, flaxseed, flax oil, the monounsaturated fats from the nuts, avocados, and olive oil, and saturated fat from coconut oil is good. The cruciferous vegetables, I know it's a mouthful, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale, even arugula is in that group. They contain indole glucosinolates, and they help detoxify excess estrogens. They actually do. They halt the conversion of estrogens into what's called dangerous metabolites, and they regulate the amount of healthy estrogens, and they balance estrogen to progesterone ratios. And they also ensure that the liver metabolizes estrogens for excretion so that they can be safely removed from the bod. Other foods that balance estrogens are apples, pears, berries, carrots, beans, and lentils, extra virgin olive oil, grapefruit, fermented soy products like tempeh miso, sesame seeds, and I said flax. These foods are also high in fiber, which again helps eliminate excess estrogens. Now, isoflavones found in unfermented soy products, soybeans, tofu, soy beverages, soy oil, cottonseed oil, corn oil, red clover, conventional meat and dairy, and farmed fish actually increase the production of aromatase, and that's the enzyme that converts androgens into estrogen, and this is going to raise your estrogen levels. And the omega-6 oils found in conventionally raised meat and most vegetable oils also enhance this aromatase activity, stimulating the production of estrogen, and you want to avoid these foods or greatly minimize them. Now, there's some other ways to balance your hormones. Women, black cohosh, ashwagandha, schisandra, licorice, wild yam, dong quai, cinnamon, chaste berry, dandelion, and maca. All these balance hormones. Guys, yohimbe, chaste berry, saw palmetto, maca, ginkgo, epimedium, which is horny goatweed, rhodiola. That's actually been shown to help ED, erectile dysfunction. And here's a little known tip for you. Healthy gut flora is a key to healthy hormone balancing. You'll never know that. Don't forget it. Remember to eat organic. Don't drink tap water because these all contain those xenoestrogens. And last but not least, you got to clean your liver. And most people don't know that the liver plays a huge role in hormone imbalances because it's the liver's job to break down or metabolize the hormones once they've done their work in the body. Now, if the liver is not efficient at breaking down your hormones, then they accumulate. The hormones accumulate in your body and cause hormone imbalances. Now, if dietary changes and exercise aren't enough to regulate your hormones, then it may be time for bioidentical hormone replacement. And that's where my guest comes in. Let me just give you a couple of tweets on this topic, and then without further ado, I'm going to bring my guest on. So here, get ready because, you know, my humor gets racy when I talk about sex, so brace yourself. Do you want him to make a pass or whether you'd rather just take a pass? Are you sexually willing or are you sexually chilling? Does your man have trouble rising to the occasion? Does he not respond even to overt forms of persuasion? Is your faucet the only thing that's dripping? Do you no longer feel like stripping? Then maybe your hormones are dipping. Do you feel like someone threw you into the fryer? Are you always looking for a portable dryer? Are you sad, scared, hot and dry? Your hormones may be the reason why. Would you rather he keep his fly up? Because when it comes to sex, you're all dried up. Do you feel dead from the waist down? Do you no longer feel like going to town? Maybe your hormones are getting you down. You don't need to put your sex life to bed. Try fixing your hormones instead. Is your sex drive no longer an active beehive? Beware the dangers of low hormones, because without them, you'll be short on moans. If you want him to jump your bones, you got to regulate your hormones. When he rolls onto your side of the bed, do you find yourself filled with dread? Are you hot to trot or definitely not? When it comes to amour, do you find sex a chore? Does the thought of sex with your lover make you want to run for cover? Has your sex drive taken a nosedive? Is your sex drive no longer in overdrive? And here's the last one. I know you're breathing a sigh of relief. Are you so dry in the southern hemisphere that you no longer feel like slipping into something sheer? I want to introduce you to my guest, Glenn Arpino. He's the founder of DermaSave Labs. He's a compounding pharmacist, and he's going to talk with us about the use of bioidentical hormones. Come on in. Glenn, are you with
me? How are you, Dr. Love?
It's wonderful to hear you, see you, and have you. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I didn't know you were such a poet.
I'm a poet, and I didn't know it.
Oh, boy. I was very impressed. I was like, I got to remember some of these.
So talk to me. Tell me at what age hormones start fading for men.
Oh, that's a tricky question. I mean, for men, it's probably after the age of 40. That's a general, very, very vague. At age 40, we just start losing testosterone levels. And as we get older, those testosterone levels continue to drop. Little different with women. Women anywhere between age 35 and up, I've seen that more and more, and probably due to the fact that you, like you mentioned, we're exposed to these xenoestrogens in our environment, and you see these young kids, going into puberty. You see these young girls developing breasts at age 8, and all of this over time is cumulative. So then you'll see, earlier menopause and various, and of course there are other factors too that come into play as well. But as a general rule, the way I see it, I mean, I always say every day a woman turns 45. For me, that's a beautiful thing because I know what happens at age 45 in most women, and that's when I usually can help them. But I have seen it earlier, as early as 35.
That's wonderful. You explained it so well. So what would you say are the top signs that a man needs hormonal help?
Well, as a guy, speaking of, okay, the first thing, of course, we all think of is, gee, I got no sex drive. Why can't I perform like I used to perform? Why am I so tired? Why is it when I go to the gym, I get tired? Why is it that I get emotionally upset if I'm watching TV? I start crying. As a man, okay, I'm not talking about me specifically, but I'm just giving you some things that I've heard in the past. And essentially, it's usually due to a low testosterone. And when we usually replace that, I mean, it's amazing. It's such a change of that person's whole outlook and how they feel. It's important to get tested first, especially for men. Men are a little bit different than women. When men, previously, before they go on any kind of testosterone supplementation, they should get a baseline testosterone along with a baseline estradiol. I can tell you that many physicians don't think about that, and they would just test the testosterone. And the problem is that after 3 months of this man using this testosterone, all of a sudden he feels that he's not getting the response he's looking for, except he is growing man boobs, like you said, the gynecomastia. And that's all because, like you said, there is an enzyme called aromatase that will convert the androgens, testosterone being one of them, into estrogen. So without a baseline estrogen, we don't know whether or not the estrogen number went up from the before he started the treatment until 3 months when we test again. So it's very important to get a baseline estradiol for men. And most doctors, they just don't do that. They don't think that out. And I'm not trying to cut them up. I'm just telling you, this is my experience of doing this for 12 years.
Okay. Now, it just occurred to me, since some prostate cancers are hormone dependent, are there certain men who cannot take excess hormones because it would create or fuel prostatic cancer?
Honestly, I'm on the fence with that. I don't have an opinion one way or another because I've heard both sides of the story. There are people that say PSA doesn't mean anything anymore, but yet we still get PSAs. Getting a baseline testosterone, in my opinion, I don't think it would encourage prostate cancer. I mean, if prostate cancer exists already, that should be obviously taken care of first before any kind of hormone therapy.
Okay, great. Now, what are the signs that a woman needs hormonal replacement?
To be quite honest with you, every day I wake up, I say, you know what, thank you for letting me wake up, and gee, thank you for letting me be a guy, because there's no way men could ever, ever do what women do, and I respect women like you would not believe. Doing this for as long as I have been doing it, of course, being a man that understands this, most men don't. Okay, we don't get educated in this, and that's the problem. So there's always a conflict between men and women, but women, the problem with women is that it can happen at any time due to so many different factors. The signs, usually, number one, during perimenopause, which is the time in between your regular menses and just about menopause, and that could be anywhere from 5 to 10 years or even 2-3 months. Everybody is different depending on your lifestyle and what kind of food you eat, what kind of job you have, stress, all these things come into play. But normally the first thing that I hear from a perimenopausal woman, which is someone, like I said, around the time of menopause where they're either having longer or shorter cycles, the biggest complaint I get is I can't sleep. Okay, sleep issues, number one thing. And there's good reason for that. I mean, the reason why this happens in a perimenopausal woman, during a normal menstrual cycle, okay, before she was perimenopausal, on day 14, she releases the egg and the fallopian tube. What's left behind of that follicle is called a corpus luteum. That is responsible for making progesterone from days 15 through 28 of your cycle. Problem is, when you are perimenopausal, you have what's called anovulatory cycles, where you don't release the egg on day 14. When you don't do that, you don't get the follicle left behind, so therefore you don't get the corpus luteum, and therefore you do not get the progesterone production in the second half of the cycle. However, you're still making estrogen, and this is one of the reasons why estrogen dominance comes into play. And I can tell you that, you know, I wish I can give you a percent, but I guess I can. 80% of the women that I deal with do very well the first time around. Another 10%, little struggle, but we usually get it. And there's 10% that no matter what we try to do, you know, I just want to put my head through a wall. But I will never stop trying to help that person, you know, even if I do put my head through the wall, okay? But I will tell you that with this whole subject, it's so different for every individual person depending on what lifestyle they have, et cetera. So you see it various different ages, you know? So there's no, okay, this is what happens then, you know? That's not the way it works.
Glenn, I want you to stay with me because I have other things I want to talk with you about. So hang on. We're going to just take a brief break. And when we return, I'm going to lay another question on you.
Sounds good.
Be right back on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
We have a really hot topic tonight. Are your hormones getting you down? Now, I'm talking with Glenn Arpino, the founder of Dermasave Labs, and he is a specialist on bioidentical hormone replacement. Glenn, I wanted to ask you, would you agree that the aging process all comes down to diminishing hormones?
I've believed that for many years, considering that hormones are the chemical messengers to every single organ system in the body. So if you have any kind of disruption with a certain hormone that would rely, you know, where that organ system relies on that hormone, you will be affected. So I definitely feel that there is a connection between the hormones and various disease states for sure.
Now, what about the question, will bioidentical hormone replacement slow or reverse the aging process? Can we do that?
Good question. I mean, again, everyone is different. Everyone has different things going on in their life, different levels of stress. So, I mean, I would like to believe that. I mean, the whole idea behind this, in my opinion, is to fool our body, that to tell our body that we're not ready to die yet. I mean, our body's a program that after we can't have children anymore, you know, that's when menopause happens, and you're pretty much done, so we're going to knock you off. So if we confuse our body and say, hey, we're not dead yet, we're still going, then I think your process of aging is definitely better than it was if you didn't have hormone replacement therapy, especially the right type of hormone replacement therapy. That's very important.
You know, the concept that a woman is really just a breeding factory, and once you can't breed anymore, we can just put you out in the field and shoot you. But if you think about it, I've often thought women don't age as easily as men because guys can technically reproduce up until the end of their lives. So we don't have to put them out in the field and shoot them so fast, right?
Yes, good thing. No, I don't think putting women out in the field either is a good idea. You know, I agree that that's not the right thing to do. We just need to just kind of, you know, get into the last part of our lives, which is usually what this time of our lives are, and make it as best as possible. You want to feel good, right?
Yeah. Now tell me this. What about all the talk about human growth hormone? What do you think about using human growth hormone as a supplement?
I've gotten asked that over and over and over again, and honestly, I try to stay away from it, not because I don't believe in it. It's just that it's pretty complicated. Number one, it's really only available in injection. That's really the only way you're going to get any kind of absorption from this, but there are people that tout, you know, pills, capsules, creams, whatever. They're not going to work because, you know, this has to be injected. So that being said, I am not set up to do sterile compounding, so I never really kind of got into that area, quite honestly. But from what I know about it, I think it has its place in some situations, but not all situations, because there are certain a number of side effects that you have to be aware of as well with that. So you pretty much have to weigh it all out. I know people like to do it for the weight loss. I know some people have had success with that. But again, is it because of that, or is it because you're just cutting back on calories? You know, I don't know. I have to see more data to make any kind of interpretation of that.
Okay. Now, you know, I talked earlier in the show about the difference between synthetic and bioidentical hormones because I was explaining that we don't absorb the synthetics. So with the bioidentical, what are their dangers? What are the dangers?
Well, it's not that – well, there are dangers of anything if you don't give it properly. I mean, the thing about bioidenticals, I mean, you know, we call it that, and I didn't come up with that name. You know, just pretty much what we're trying to say is that this is the same as life. These are the exact same chemicals that we make in our bodies. That's why they're called, quote, bioidentical. Synthetic means these are nothing like our body hormones whatsoever, so there is going to be a huge difference between the two. Your body will not recognize a synthetic compound as being body-friendly, so there's going to be a myriad of side effects. And plus, if you know anything about steroid metabolism, where you have certain hormones are developed after certain enzymatic reactions, then you would understand that if you replace one of these natural hormones with a synthetic hormone, that the following enzymatic reactions wouldn't take place in the entire process. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, the side effect profile for the synthetic hormones are much greater than the bioidenticals.
Right. Now, tell me this. Do you just take them forever, or do you just take them to get over the hump, if you'll pardon the pun?
That's another good question. And again, the only thing I do when I can't answer that question because this is an individual choice. I'll be honest with you. I got into this because I didn't wake up one day and say, you know what I want to do? I didn't do that. I got thrown into it. My own wife, who had to have an emergency hysterectomy, partial oophorectomy, back in 1998 when she gave birth to our second daughter. She was actually given last rites the next day, and thank God she didn't need that. Hopefully they're bankable. 9 days later, she came out of ICU. She came home 2 weeks later with one ovary, okay? And I'm saying to myself, you know, I had to live with her, and this is crazy. But then as I educated myself, I knew what it was that she needed. And knowing the benefits of what we're doing, I will never take her off of the hormones. But this is my choice based on my knowledge. But I encourage everyone to educate themselves. Don't ever take what I'm saying as godsend. That's what I always tell people when I give my talks, is that just get this information and make it, you know, your decision based on the information that you receive, and, you know, be an informed person, so you know what to do. But personally, I can't tell you what to do, but I would say to you, these are the benefits of staying on this. This is the information, because I always back it up with information, and you make the decision, not me. I can't make the decision for the person.
You know, I find you to be so empathic, and I think even though you haven't lived in a woman's body, at least not to my knowledge,
in another life. I don't know why this is happening to me. Okay, let's put it this way. I embrace anything that life gives me as a journey, and I enjoy the journey, and I find that helping these women and men, you know, don't forget, I do help men, but mostly women, that it's been incredibly very, very enjoyable to get, you know, that you know that you're helping women, and they call you and tell me, you saved my marriage, you saved my life. Wow, I can't believe it. You know, that's really a great thing.
Glenn, you were very kind to me, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I was going through some kind of a hot flash thing, and I came into your office, and I was dripping, and the air conditioning was blasting, and you just took one look at me, and I was just a wreck, you know?
I knew you were a wreck when I saw you. And I said, we got to fix her.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully we did.
Dr. Love can't go on no more.
No, you can't.
So, just everybody, I'm sure, who works with you has that same feeling of empathy that I experience. So how can people reach you? How can people find out more?
Well, I mean, if you haven't seen any of my advertising, that's probably because you didn't need me. But I advertise quite a few, but I'm right here in Pleasant Valley. I work very close with people, and I work with their physicians as long as they're willing to work with me. It's a simple thing. If a physician doesn't want to listen to me, and I say this frankly, you know, I mean, this is, you know, I'm a pharmacist for almost 30 years. So I'm telling you that if I could recommend a physician because I know that this physician is on board with me as opposed to certain other ones that don't even recognize my existence. So rather than try to fight with your existing physician, you know, I tell a patient, listen, this is what I want to do based on what I've done, research, and if not, I'll have to go somewhere else. It's a simple thing like that. It's your life, and you have to be in control of it. You have to be your own patient advocate. That's the way it is.
Now, listen, because you said Pleasant Valley, people are listening to this show all over the world. So
Pleasant Valley, New York. I have a 800 number.
How about a web address?
I don't have a website, Dr. Love. I do not have a website for this business. I don't need one. Word of mouth has been amazing.
Oh, wow. But if people really want to reach you and get help from you, because, you know, there are people living all over the country who need help, they would have to call your 800 number then through the United States, right?
That's correct.
Let's have that number.
Okay. It's 1-800.
Right.
277-7099.
Alrighty. And there's just one other little thing I wanted to mention because people don't realize that when you're doing bioidentical hormone replacement, normally you do salivary testing. And traditional MDs do not do this. They do blood tests. So just before we say goodbye, explain to everybody why salivary testing is more reliable and why we do that instead of the blood work.
So number one, before we get there, I just want to repeat that phone number once again because I hate to say this, but if it's misdialed, there's another kind of line that people would get that may not be too ear-friendly. So once again, it's 1-800-277-7099. Okay, got that out of the way. I feel better. All right, now it's the difference between salivary and blood testing. The problem is now you have many physicians that like blood testing, and rather than argue or go against them, let them do what they want to do. That's my advice. The bottom line is I think salivary testing is better, and the reason being, number one, we do not have baselines of us when we were 30, 40 years ago. We just don't have the baselines. We didn't do it. So what happens is when you're measuring these hormones in blood, first you have to realize these hormones are very highly protein bound. In other words, they circulate in the body, attach to proteins. And this particular fraction of the hormone is actually inactive. We're interested in the free fraction of the hormone. So when you get your range back, say, between 100 and 1,000 is normal, and you come back at 200, well, you're normal, quote, unquote. But is it normal? We don't have a baseline on you. 30 years ago, 800 or 900 might have been normal for you. We don't know that. So that's why salivary testing, because the salivary gland will only allow the smaller fraction, the non-protein-bound fraction, the inactive fraction, will not allow the inactive fraction through the salivary gland, so it gives us a much more accurate type of number where what's going, in other words, of what hormones are really truly available to the target tissues. So we base it on this, and now we don't test first because I can tell you, most women I speak to, they're having symptoms. We already know, based on what those symptoms are, what she probably needs. And then what I would do is recommend to the physician the following things to do. Then when I hear from the woman, I'm feeling great. At that point is when I want to test because I want to make sure the ratio of progesterone to estradiol measured in saliva is greater than 200 to 1. When that exists, chance of breast cancer goes to zero. It's amazing because progesterone is anti-prolific and has been shown to induce cell destruction of breast cancer cells. So, you know, it's very important information, and I encourage everyone to you know, investigate this on your own. Don't take what I'm saying as godsend.
Wonderful, Glenn. It was really wonderful having you. Give us the number one more time for DermaSave Labs for your company, and I want to make sure everybody who needs to can find you. Go ahead, give it again.
It is 1-800-277-7099. Be careful when you dial.
Otherwise, you're going to get 1-800-EAT-ME or something like that.
Something like that, exactly. And I've had that happen. I actually did it once, and then somebody, I mean, every now and then I get someone calling, do you know if I dialed, Bob, I got a sex line? I'm like, yeah, it's not me. You know, I didn't put that out there, so.
I should link up with it, because once you correct the hormones, the sex drive goes up, and then you could just sort of link up to the sex line. Say,
I just would like to talk about one more thing, if you don't mind, because you were mentioning this about, you know, in one of your poems, about vaginal dryness. To me, that is one of the most important things to resolve, because, as you know, a happy wife is a happy life and all of that. Everyone wants to be happy in their marriage, and sex is a part of it, as you know. And one of the biggest things that I always see in women that are getting older and they're losing estrogen is vaginal dryness. Now, there are products available on prescription that you can buy, which is estradiol and Premarin. You have some estradiol receptors in vaginal tissue. You have no Premarin receptors in vaginal tissue, but you have a plethora of estriol receptors. And I make the promise to every single woman that gets a tube of estriol vaginal cream, I say, if this does not solve your vaginal dryness, I will take you and your significant other out to any restaurant of your choice on me. And there have been well over 3,000 women that have received this, and not one has ever taken me up on this. So I just wanted to get that out there. Vaginal dryness is one of your issues. I promise you that can be a thing of the past.
Oh, wonderful, Glenn. Very, very wonderful. I'm glad that you came, and I'll invite you back again. And thank you again for sharing all this wonderful information.
Anytime, Dr. Love. Thank you so much. And everyone out there, have a great one.
You too. Let me take a little break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her five-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. Today I'm talking about your hormones and whether they're making you moan, but not in a good way. And I'm going to go to answer some questions that came in. The first one is, woman whose mate needs more foreplay. Dear Dr. Love, my mate and I have a wonderful sex life. I've known him for about 2 years, and in our real relationship, though, he is telling me that he needs more foreplay. I don't know why you said in our real relationship. Oh, you know what? Because I need glasses, another aging thing. He wrote relationship, but there's a break. Okay. In our relationship, though, he's telling me that he needs more foreplay than usual because he's getting older. Can you explain why this is happening? So, first of all, I sense that you're asking the question because you're worried that your guy may be losing his attraction to you. Now, the fact is, all human beings adapt to stimuli. Think about exercise. In a few weeks, the body just becomes accustomed to a certain level of activity, and it just stops responding to it any longer. So to get around the adaptation, we need to alter the intensity, maybe work harder, or the duration, work longer, in order for the body to respond again. Well, human sexuality is the same. In a short time, our bodies get locked in a rut, and that means that we need to vary our foreplay and other sexual techniques in order to get the same rise, if you know what I mean. Now, there's another reason why a man would need to vary or prolong foreplay and in order to get aroused, and that as men age, it's harder for them to get hard. So this explains why they need to use direct manual stimulation to obtain an erection. And as men become still older, direct manual stimulation may need to be performed for even longer intervals before an erection can be obtained. So if you experiment a bit, vary your routines, spice up your sex life, and your guy gets hard faster, then you're going to know that my first theory is true, that he was actually becoming adapted to your sexual routine, and variety was what he needed to have introduced on a regular basis. But if in spite of the variety, he's still slower to get an erection, then you can be fairly sure that aging is the cause, as he suspects it is. And as men age, we know the hormone testosterone slowly dwindles, which causes many symptoms, including, as you know, loss of muscle mass and energy, depression, loss of sexual interest, and difficulty obtaining or maintaining erections. So I spoke before about raw Peruvian maca. That has been shown to really, really do wonders for guys. And if needed, bioidentical hormone replacement can actually improve a man's sexual interest and performance. So I'm sure you're going to find the magic combination that works. So have fun experimenting. All right. Here's another question that came in. And this one is such a heartbreaking question. I'm so in pain over this question. It's man who is in despair over the size of his genitals. Dear doctor, this ailment has totally destroyed my life. In the last 20 years, I have attempted suicide 7 times. The thing is that I can live with the fact that my genitals are minuscule, but the taunting that I have received from society because I have the crotch of a woman never ceases. Please help me. I am in despair. My heart is actually, it just bleeds for you, and I hear you're in despair because your genitals are so unusually small. I first want to start by saying that many men fear that their genitals are abnormally small when in reality they are not. And the main reason men think that they're too small is because they don't realize that millions of men have very small penises in the unaroused, non-erect state. Now, for these men, their penises grow quite a bit when they become erect. By contrast, you know, men who look very large when they're unaroused grow very little when they get an erection. So that's why the terms growers and showers expresses the difference between the two types. The problem is most boys first compare their penises to their father's. And of course, dad's equipment looks huge to a little boy, even if he's a shower. And to complicate matters, when a boy gets naked in a male locker room, if he's a grower and compares himself to showers, he's going to even be more insecure about his penis size. So I want to just set the record straight once and for all. The normal size for an erect penis is 4 to 6 inches. Now, from what you're saying, you are smaller than average. And the name for this condition is micropenis. And did you know that this condition is diagnosed when the penis is smaller than 2 inches erect? And this occurs in 0.06% of the population. Now, they say that micropenis is the result of inadequate exposure to testosterone during the second and third trimester of gestation. So if you really are smaller than average, I don't want you to despair. There are treatments about this. Now, I know you said that you accept that you're smaller, but if you really accepted it, you wouldn't be so troubled by the taunting. So one option for you is reconstructive urologic surgery. There are surgeons called reconstructive urologic surgeons or plastic surgeons, and they actually perform a procedure called phalloplasty or penis enlargement. And this requires an implanted erectile prosthesis to achieve an erection and enable sexual penetration. And did you know, as of November 2009, there's research in progress to synthesize corpus cavernosa, the erectile tissue, in the lab on rabbits for eventual use in patients requiring penile reconstructive surgery. There can be complications. I don't even want to go into the complications because I don't want to freak you out. But what I do know is that the complications are being reduced every day. And I'm also reading that bioengineering may soon be capable of creating a fully functional penis. So, but in addition to contacting a surgeon, I want you to talk to a therapist, and I want you to focus on not allowing your genitals to define who you are. Because, you know, I had a patient come to see me just this week, And in the course of our conversation, new patient, he said in a matter-of-fact tone that he had a very, very small penis. And I was really impressed by this, because if a person has a good self-esteem, he or she doesn't allow the outer package to define him or herself. Now, I know we live in a superficial world. I know this. But ultimately, we all have to come to see our bodies as nothing but a temporary vessel for the soul. Because ultimately, our sole purpose on earth is to perfect our soul's purpose, which is to learn to focus less on our outer package and more on loving others. Now, sometimes we're forced to learn this lesson at a younger age because we're born deformed or struck with a chronic illness. But sometimes we have to accept this lesson when our bodies shrivel and wither with age. My point is that you are more than a penis and a pair of testicles. And I want you to accept yourself. And if you do, others are more likely to mirror back to you what you yourself feel about yourself. If you loathe yourself, others are going to loathe you too. And I don't want you to think that I'm minimizing your pain, because it's one thing to accept a feature that may be less visually pleasing, but if your condition causes you to not be able to perform sexually, then your quality of life is truly being compromised. So I recommend that you see a specialist and discuss the surgery. And meanwhile, I want you to keep working on how you feel about yourself, because I say this because when the self-esteem is low, we tend to keep finding things to use as clubs to hammer ourselves down farther. And my point is, you could fix your penis size and then fall into the trap of putting yourself down for something else. So please promise me that you won't attempt to harm yourself again. Promise me that. And promise that you will keep me posted on how you do. All right, well, that's all I have for you today on Ask Dr. Love Radio. I really enjoy being with you, and I want you to really take to heart what I talked about estrogen dominance, because it is a cascading problem that not only affects your hormones, it raises your cancer risk, and by cleaning up your diet, exercising, and doing liver cleansing, you can do so much for correcting the hormone imbalances that are getting you down, getting your sex life down. And I want you to really have a full life filled with love and joy and pleasure, all the banquet that you were meant to enjoy. So that's all I have for now. I will see you again next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio. Take care.